Hello, everyone. I am, and I'm proud to say it, Professor Greg Stephens. Welcome to Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory. Thank you, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for the invitation that you so graciously offered to bring the Word of God for 2 weeks of this broadcast, your broadcast. I'm honored to be here with you. I'm looking forward to our study together with you and all of you. And before we go, it just seems right that we should thank the Lord and we should bless the Word, pray over it, and that we should pray over Brother and Sister Copeland. You okay with that? Because yes. I do it every day. I'm a partner.
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you guys pray for the Copelands every single day? Pastor George and Terry? Yes. Entire family? Yes. Amen. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you are the great I am. I thank you that you've made a covenant partnership with us, but you've made covenant partnerships with one another. I thank you for Brother and Sister Copeland, for their example, for the example they've set for us to follow as we follow you. I thank you for Pastor George and Terry, the pastors of Eagle Mountain International Church. I thank you for Kelly Copeland and John Copeland. I thank you for every member of the family. Father, I thank you for the family, the body of Christ that's fitly joined together, each joint supplying one another. And Lord, we thank you for this family of faith.
Yes.
This family of faith. Yeah, I'll do that. I forgot. Father, I thank you for Aubrey. I thank you for Jeremy Pearson's. I pray blessing on that church right now. I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. The family of faith.
Yes.
We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Now, wash us in your word today that we'll never be the same in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to go from glory to glory as we follow you in the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm telling you what now, spirit of prayer just about came on me right then. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Learn to be led by the Spirit. Pray for, as it drops into your spirit man. Learn to listen to his voice. You know, all three of them have a voice. Father has a voice. Jesus, the Son, has a voice. You can hear it. There's a difference in them. They're the same, but you can tell who's talking to you once you train yourself. There's the Holy Spirit, his voice, and then your human spirit has a voice. And you need to learn to differentiate between the ones. And people say all the time, you guys always say the Lord said this to you. Well, he does.
Sure does.
I said he does.
Yes. Amen.
People say, well, I never hear him. Well, you're not listening. He's speaking all the time.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing in the world to hear him. One of the ways that you hear him is he sounds like those in authority over you. I can prove that to you from Scripture. Samuel, remember that?
Yes.
He thought the prophet Eli was the one that was calling him. Went in there, I don't know how many times he went in there. And finally, the prophet got a clue. Oh, the next time that happens, just say, here am I, Lord. But he sounded like his covering. I said he sounded like the head.
Yes.
He sounded like a person of authority over him.
Yeah.
I would be willing, if I was a betting man, I'd be willing to bet you that you've had Brother Copeland's voice rise up in you or in your mind, and you've heard Brother Copeland say, oh, well, I heard Brother Copeland say that. I submit to you. Or you heard your parents, or you heard a school teacher. Brother Copeland talks about old Lady Taggart. Right? You heard something that was an authority figure in your life. I submit to you, you're probably hearing God because he sounded like, with Samuel, he sounded like Eli, didn't he? And so that many times, as a child, you probably heard it when you thought you heard your grandparents or you thought you heard your mom. Oh, I've heard my mom say that. I heard my dad say that. Mm-hmm. They were authority figure. He always speaks from the head down. Amen. All right. You've heard him. I don't know if it was audible or not, but one time, I'm pretty sure, I'm thinking it might be audible. I was the only one in the car, and it shook me to the core when I heard it. Now, that would have been the Father. I was praying, what a waste of time. I was driving from Oklahoma City to Tulsa, about 90 miles or so, and I'm praying in the Spirit about Michelle, my wife. I'm praying for God to change her and to move on her. and to correct some things in her life. Praying in the spirit of, what a waste of time that was. And finally, I'm not getting any relief in the prayer. I'm getting off in Tulsa. I could take you right now to the highway I was on. It was that real. And I turned off the off-ramp and was on this loop thing. And I said, Lord, she's just so picky. And I heard what sounded like out loud, and she picked you. And instantly I was broken. That's how I know what voice it was. And I've heard the voice of the Lord and the voice of the Holy Spirit as well. We're talking about partnership. Partner, one who partakes or shares with another, a partaker, an associate, from Webster's Dictionary. The Greek word translated partnership or fellowship most often in the New Testament, some 19 times, is the word koinonia, means to share with someone in something. I shared with you several verses, Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. 2 Corinthians 6:1, when we are as workers together with him. 1 Corinthians 3:6 through 9, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase, and all of those verses. But today, it just seemed right, as I was praying about this and meditating on this, I was going to show another example of something, and it just seemed right to me and the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean when I say that? Seemed right to my spirit and the Holy Spirit as I was meditating on it to just go through verses in this new covenant established on better promises. That's what they did in Hebrews chapter 11. I'll show you that at the end of this today, if I get with it and on the ball here and get going. Hebrews chapter 11, I'll show you something very exciting. Where most partnerships break down is they're not sharing the same goal anymore. So what I want to do today, if you'll let me, I'm going to run the references on that Greek word koinonia. And we're going to just let the Bible speak for itself, okay? And it'll be translated sometimes as fellowship, sometimes as communion, but it's the word partnership. And so if you will, let's just go through these verses and see what the Word of God says about partnership. All right? It just seemed right to my spirit and the Holy Spirit. Bear witness with anybody else? Well, good, we're doing it anyway. So here we go. In Acts chapter 2, we find this theme here. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 42, 43, and 44. Then those indeed who did gladly receive his word were baptized, and there were added on that day, as it were, 3,000 souls. All right, that's the day of Pentecost. This is fulfilling the first Pentecost. First Pentecost was at Mount Sinai, and 3,000 died that day. Now 3,000 are born again. Fulfillment. Verse 42, and they were continually steadfast in teaching of the apostles and fellowship. There's the word. And the breaking of bread and prayer. So let me say it this way. And they were continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles and partnership and the breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders, also signs, were being done through the apostles. And all those believing were at the same place and had all things in common. Now you're going to find out that none of them will lack for anything. That's the power of partnership. From day one, on the day of Pentecost, they were in partnership, having the same goal, and it'll grow 3,000, then the next day 5,000, then the next thing you know, none of them lacked for anything. Now would be a really good time to stop right here and let Brother Copeland share a message with you, share something from the Word of God concerning partnership. Here it is.
Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints of Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you, making all request with joy for your fellowship. Now, in Luke 5:1, that same word is translated partnership. So make a note of that. Luke 5:1. For your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is right for me to think this of you all. Because, hang a minute. That means I've preached long enough. It is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, as much as in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Did you get that? You're partakers of my grace. That's a key phrase. You are a partaker of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus, or in the depth and the spirit of Jesus Christ. This I pray for you, love may abound, and so forth. Now, verse 19, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and through your supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I know not, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful to you. And this is a partner letter. He didn't write this in the time it takes you to read it. I believe he made that decision while he's writing the letter. He's just sitting there thinking. He used the word joy 19 times in this book, and he's in one of the worst prisons that you could be in at the time, and he's thinking, let's die and get out of here. But if I do that, I can't minister to these people.
Amen. So he decided, no, it's better because of our partnership for me to stay and to finish this. Listen, the same partnership, the same grace that was on him is upon us. Amen. That's the same. When I came in here to fill in for Brother Copeland last week and this week, that's what I did. I claimed partnership. I claimed covenant. I claimed partnership. And I said, allow that anointing, that grace that's in this chair right here from him to rest on me, that I can understand and teach at that level. That's what I did. I claim that. Let me show you some other words for partnership. Now, what I tell you causes breakdown of partnership when you're not going for the same goal, when we're not in agreement. Let me show you 1 Corinthians. I'm running the reference on that word koinonia, partnership, often translated fellowship. You just heard Brother Copeland say it a second ago. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship, there it is, of the Son of God, a Son of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me read it this way. God is faithful, by whom you are God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you understand I'm in a partnership with Jesus? That heaven sees it this way, that I was crucified with him, that I was buried with him, that I rose with him. I am now seated with him, and I reign in life by Christ Jesus. Amen. That's my partnership. Amen. It's as if I did it. Praise God. Now look at verse 10. So we're in the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing. What breaks down partnership? When we no longer have the same goal. We're not saying the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We got to come against division. Yes. We got to speak the same thing. Got to say the same thing. Woo, glory to God. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all we're doing now is running references on this. Verse number 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? That same word, there it is, that's partnership. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the partnership of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the partnership of the body of Christ? That'll change the way you see communion. It's a partnership. As often as you do this in remembrance of me, I'm in partnership when I do communion. Amen. I'm reestablishing my covenant partnership with him in his suffering, in his resurrection, in his precious blood. The blood has been applied on my life. The Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. That's my covenant partnership. That'll get you healed, my friend. It's a partnership. Take communion. Take communion over your body. Take, I call it the meal that heals. Grab communion. You should never not have communion elements at your house. Grab those communion elements and go into partnership with him. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what partnership? Fellowship is the word there. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what partnership hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? That sheds a whole new light. Very beginning of time, God created man and made a partner for him, a helpmeet, Eve, because they needed to be in partnership. If we're going to be like God, we got to be in partnership. Don't we?
Yes.
We were created in his image, given his authority. So if that's the case, then we have to walk in partnership. You, oh, Jesus, what I'm about to say. Jesus, you can't be in Christ and not be in partnership with somebody. We're called into relationship. We're the body of Christ fitly joined. We have to be in partnership with someone else. I don't mean to talk so bold to you, but I'm telling you, you better get in partnership with somebody. Amen. Oh, me or something. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 8, 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the partnership of the ministering to the saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Now, this time it'll say ministration, but it's the same word. Whilst by the experiment of this partnership, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them all, unto all men. So there it is. That comes out of a heart of partnership. Amen. When I become a partner, I realize I became a giver. Jesus became a partner in our redemption. And so what do you do? A body hast thou prepared for me. He gave of himself. For God so loved the world that he gave. He went into partnership with Jesus to redeem you. He's a giver. It's when you're most like your father. I said it's most like your father's when you're giving. Amen. Let's go on down. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of partnership, fellowship. That we should go to the heathen and they to the circumcision. Ephesians 3, 9. Pick up the speed here. Can you keep up with me? Just write them down. Ephesians 3, 9. Get the notes. Amen. All right. Ephesians 3, 9. And to make all men see what is the partnership, fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath he hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 1. If there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any partnership, fellowship of the Spirit, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the partnership of his sufferings. I'm finding a theme here. Over and over and over. This is not just a one-off thing. God takes it seriously, partnership. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, and then we'll go to verse 6, then we'll go to verse 7. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have partnership with us, fellowship. And truly our partnership or fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me read that again, verse 3. I'll take fellowship out and just say partnership. Is that all right? Yeah. To that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that we have also partnership with us. And truly partnership is with the Father and the Son and Jesus Christ. If we say that we have partnership with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You change that word fellowship to partnership and you see it. It's koinonia. If we say we have partnership with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship. I'm going to change it to koinonia. Partnership can be translated either word. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have partnership one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. As we go, we're out of time, but I want to show you Hebrews chapter 11. In all of Hebrews chapter 11, it's all the heroes of faith. But let me show you at the end of Hebrews. They all partnered with one another and with God. And they did it by faith. Look at this. Verse 39. All these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having, listen, look at verse 40. This is talking to you. God having provided some better thing for us, that we without should, but they without us should not be made perfect. Colossians said, you are complete and perfect in him. Listen to me. Your faith, your position is greater. It's better than Abraham. It's better than David. It's better than Moses. You have been brought into the body of Christ in a partnership in the new covenant of his blood. It is better than anything that was ever experienced by any of them. Don't say, I wish I was in those days. Say, I'm glad I'm in these days. We'll be back in just a moment. We're out of time.
Father, we thank you this morning and we give you praise. And we thank you that this building once more for one whole week will be a sanctuary for people from all over the world. And we thank you today that this building is full of the Holy Ghost and power from on high. And we praise you and we honor you today. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here to pray for you. If you need prayer for something in your life, we have trained and licensed prayer ministers who are filled with God's love, standing by to pray with you in faith and according to God's word. Just give us a call at 817-852-6000 and let us help you receive God's promises into your life.
I'm Pastor George Pearsons, and today is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I want to share something with you about prosperity that is so important to know. It's really about the heart of prosperity. From 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the Apostle John was talking there about prospering in every way. And now what do we do with this prosperity? Well, we look over here at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "And I will make of you a great nation," talking to Abraham, "and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." One translation says, "dispensing good to others." Dispensing good to others. Well, some time ago, the Lord ministered this phrase to me, and I've used it over and over and over again. My motivation for accumulation is distribution. Let's say that again. Say that with me. My motivation for accumulation is distribution. That is the heart of prosperity. It's just not us receiving, but also being sowers, givers, givers into the gospel, givers into others. You know, people question the prosperity message, and they question us preaching this. But listen to the definition of prosperity that Brother Copeland has given to it. True prosperity is the ability to meet the needs of mankind, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, and in every way. That's what prosperity is all about. And that's what you can do, and that's what I can do. As you sow your seed into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I can guarantee you that those finances are going to minister to the needs of people. As a matter of fact, 10% of everything that you give goes right back out again to minister to the needs in ministries all over the world. So your seed is a twice-sown seed. It's going much farther than you think it could ever go. If you want to participate today in this offering and be a blessing to mankind, kcm.org/give, kcm.org/give, and watch the blessing of the Lord come on you to be a blessing to others.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining me on the past 2 weeks on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Well, what a great time I had. What a great time I believe we had laying the foundation for covenant partnership and studying the many examples of partnerships throughout the Bible in the scripture. The core theme in the Bible is partnership. If you missed any of the broadcasts, or you can watch them or listen to them free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel, I encourage you to go back and do that. It's because of our partners that we can make these Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts available on demand for free. So partners, let me thank you for your faithful giving and your support. Together with you and with the faithfulness of Jesus, we're able to continue sending the uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Go to church this weekend and let's say it together. Are you ready? God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord. See you next time.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. To text to give, text the letters KCM to 36609. Together with you, we are sending the word of faith to families around the world.